The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. It is homecoming weekend, the final hour of the show, and we are live in Oxford on the Grove, and we're delighted to say hello to Keith Carter, who, of course, is the athletic director here, and this is a busy, busy weekend in addition to the game. Keith, always good to see you. Thanks so much for being here, and you were telling me off the air about everything that is going on. I wanted to share that because there's so much to... I mean, fans like me and the rest of the folks, we're going to a game. That's all we think about, but that's not exactly how it works.
No, it feels like this weekend there's about 30 events. They're all good, but, you know, we like to cram things in on these game weekends. But, you know, we're doing a really cool thing. We're honoring Mr. James Meredith, the 60th year anniversary of integration of Ole Miss, and several events around his this weekend for him and his family. It's been awesome. We have a big donor event tonight. There's been stuff all day long. But, again, that's what we do on big football weekends, and we're excited to play Kentucky tomorrow at 11.
And Lane Kiffin was here a couple hours ago, and he talked about this collective conversation today. Explain what went down and what all that means.
Yeah, you know, back in April, our state law changed a little bit where we as the institution could have a little more flexibility and could communicate a little bit more with the third parties out there in the NIL space. And today there was a press conference from the Grove Collective, which is the collective for Ole Miss, and we were able to kind of relaunch that. And, you know, we just want to make sure that we're doing things the right way. I think by relaunching it, it makes sure that there's really one collective and they're all kind of absorbed into one. And, you know, from our standpoint with Ole Miss, we want to make sure we're following state law, obviously, and NCAA bylaw. So I think it was good. And, you know, NIL is just something that has popped up in the last, you know, 12 to 14 months, but it's sure not going away.
No, and there's a lot of misinformation, obviously. But in terms of how a collective works, or this collective in particular, what is the method of the madness?
Well, you know, obviously you can only work with current student-athletes, and so I think that that's something that we want to make sure that our student-athletes at Ole Miss have every opportunity in the NIL space. I think that, you know, NIL is a really good thing for them. I think they should have the opportunity to profit from their name, image, and likeness. And so, again, you just want to make sure you're in the space where you're doing it the right way. It's on the up and up, and we feel confident that the new structure of our collective will help do that. And certainly at Ole Miss, we want to make sure that we're compliant and doing things right from a legal standpoint.
Yeah, and obviously Lane Kiffin has been out front. No need to dig all that up, but there is so much out there. And as an athletic director is deemed to be responsible for a lot of things, but, you know, compliance is one thing, but also moving forward, what is that challenge like, knowing or think you know what your competitors are doing or not doing?
Yeah, you know, we think about it every single day. We talk about it every day. And the thing about the NIL space is you want to be aggressive in the space and be creative and be as proactive as you can. But obviously you don't want to cross any lines. And, you know, it's just hard right now because you don't know what those lines are at times. And so you hear things, you see things on social media, you talk to other ADs and other, you know, our coaches talk to other coaches and what they're seeing and hearing out there. So, again, just trying to do the right thing to put our student athletes in the best, you know, opportunity to have those resources and do some good things in the NIL space, but certainly, you know, trying to do it the right way.
So when a collective like this one is involved, is there not a cap, but is there a set amount that athletes get? How does it's still mysterious to a lot of us.
Yeah, and again, that's not really what we do as the athletic department. We just kind of, you know, we want to make sure that whatever collective is out there that we're able to help monitor and do things the right way. We let them kind of worry about, you know, what's market value and those type of things.
So you're just doing what?
Well, you know, the thing that we run into, and I think all institutions do, is that we have a donor base, and all of a sudden, you know, we're trying to raise money through the athletics department and our foundation for capital projects and different things. But then there's also this NIL discussion out there. They wonder, where do we give? You know, what makes the most sense? And so we're just trying to find the right combination and collaboration with the collective so that we can, you know, let our donors know, you know, what's important and those type of things. But we kind of get out of the way once they start working with the student athletes, and we just try to make sure we're collaborating in a good way.
So you'll meet with donors tonight, and you're right, donors are the lifeblood of an athletic department, because improvements, there's a myriad of things that they will be donating. I ask you this because there's nothing more urgent than being competitive. So how do you balance what somebody from Memphis or Houston or Nashville or Atlanta gave 2 years ago to help you with capital projects, and now you're in this, I'll say it, rat race trying to keep up with everyone else?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's something we spend a lot of time on. You know, we launched a capital campaign back at the Sugar Bowl for $350 million. Since then, we've basically cut that in half. We've decided that we wanted to work on some – we took one of the initiatives out of the campaign, our stadium project. We're going to put that on the shelf for a little while. And part of that is because of the NIL discussion and right. donors wanting to maybe give to that instead of some capital projects. So it is tough. It's kind of the wild, wild west out there right now. But, you know, I think our job as administrators and our compliance people and our legal people, you know, our job is to make sure that we as an institution are doing things the right way. And I certainly think we're doing that.
And Keith, I want to make sure I understand that. But it just seems sitting here as a bystander that when some donor gives X number of dollars to improve anything on campus, that's sustaining. That's something that you can see. That's something mm-hmm. that will help enable a school like this for a long time. The other part is a little different. I realize I'm not breaking any new ground here, but as I sit here and listen to you talk about it, it does come a little more into focus.
It does, and you know, this takes me back to something that I say a lot. You know, a lot of times when you start an NIL discussion, you end the discussion with more questions than when you started. And so, but I do think there's a lot of smart people thinking about it. You know, we've partnered with several third parties in the national space that are working with other institutions to help have best practices and those type of things. We're going to get there. We're going to get to a good solution. It's just going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride until we do.
Let's talk about Lane Kiffin, because he's certainly one of the most interesting coaches in the country. I know a couple of months ago, I think I got this right, he was extended, as a lot of coaches are. Your thoughts on what he has done? It's been pretty phenomenal in many respects, but you're his boss, so what do you think?
Well, we've been obviously very happy with Coach Kiffin. You know, I knew when we hired Coach that we needed to hire somebody that could come in and galvanize our fan base and give us some pop and sizzle immediately. I think we did that at the press conference just with his reputation and some of the things that he's been able to do in his career. But what's been really cool is he's validated all that. You know, our teams have been really good. We had an Outback Bowl, a Sugar Bowl, off to a 4-0 start this year. Our folks are excited. And we all know that football is the lifeblood of any athletic department. You've got to be good. You've got to be relevant. And we're certainly that. And I know that our other sports see that and feel that. And those resources trickle down. So really happy with Coach Kiffin. And he is a guy that, you know, certainly has a lot of creative ideas. And he and I have become really close. But it's been good.
He's a very unique individual, and I realize athletic directors in today's world, I don't know what the it's not like it was many, many years ago. What are the challenges of somebody who is clearly out there from a social media standpoint?
Well, you know, Coach's main saying is we don't try to think outside the box. We try to create a new box. And he does that. I mean, he challenges his staff. He challenges our administrative staff. But I think it's good. You know, I think that this is the time period in college athletics where we all need to kind of think like that. I mean, we're changing. I mean, our world is changing so much with NIL and the transfer portal and conference realignment. There's a lot of change now. So I like the fact that, you know, he's always constantly coming up with ideas, and I feel like I'm kind of that way too. We kind of bounce things off of each other. Our other coaches do that. Our administration does that. So we want to pride ourselves here at Ole Miss about being first movers and being creative and proactive, and certainly Lane helps us do that.
Keith Carter, the director of athletics here. I know you've got a million things to get to, but thanks for making time, and thanks for the great hospitality here on this campus.
Absolutely. Glad you guys are here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take a short break. We'll talk to two of the more popular figures on campus, the two basketball coaches. They will be here in just a minute.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, we are back here live in Oxford, the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. And what a day it's been. We've talked to pretty much everyone, but not everyone yet. And We've got a couple of basketball coaches here. We start with Lane Kiffin, and we've had so many other people. But let's say hello to Coach Kermit Davis and Coach Yeo. And
how you doing?
Man, I was so proud of what you guys did last year. What an amazing year back
Thank
in the NCAA
you.
Tournament.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. You spoke it 2 years ago. You said, Coach, I got a belief in you. So so it was refreshing to get back and get that taste.
What has it meant to have that by your program's name after, 15 years?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it meant a lot in recruiting. It's helped the boost. You know, Shakira Austin got drafted in the first round of the WNBA, so that helped as well, and we're just trying to ride the wave and continue to build our culture.
You know a little bit about the NCAA tournament that helped you end up here with some of your success, Coach. We were talking to your athletic director a minute ago. I don't know how you guys deal with today's environment. He was going to a donor meeting. He came from an NIL press conference. You've seen a little bit in your career, Coach. What's it like these days?
You know, Paul, the first time I recruited, there was no cell phones, right? You stopped on the old gas stations and called the families. They said, Johnny, be back in 20 minutes, and you waited. But it is. You got to adapt to the change. I'll say this about Ole Miss, Paul. I mean, Dr. Boyce and Keith have been on the cutting edge of the NIL from the very beginning. And I think the addition of Walker Jones and the press conference with the collective today, Ole Miss is right on the right track. And, you know, I think it's great that now it's starting to kind of come in underneath the university umbrella, which I think is going to be safe and good for everybody.
Yeah, it's amazing for me, Coach O and Coach Davis, to think about this campus. We had Sean Boda meet on earlier, talking about the commemoration tomorrow of 60 years of James Meredith. And I know it's a long time ago, but it's so interesting and gratifying to see this campus celebrate that. When you talk to your young players, you're still pretty young yourself. You're not like the two
still
of us.
I
mean, do they have any idea what change has been made here?
Well, we try to do a good job of educating them on that. You know, I attended the commemoration and the celebration for James Meredith two nights ago, and some of my players were there. So I just think education is important, and but they understand. I don't know that they truly get it. I try to put myself in their shoes. I didn't get a lot of things. I didn't get Title IX
right.
Until I became, like, now I'm a leader, so I understand the importance of Title IX. But we try to talk to them about it as much as possible.
And Coach Davis, it is a remarkable achievement. I grew up the road in Memphis, and this was a place that you talked about gingerly because it had such a skewed reputation.
You think about it, Paul. 60 years ago, I lived in this state. My dad was in the National Guard unit that came to Oxford and spent 30 days when James entered Ole Miss.
My goodness, I didn't realize
and
that.
So, you know, I was in Mississippi when I was in the fourth grade when it integrated. I think it's 1968. And so now to see the evolution of what's happened in our state, you know, it's such a great state. And obviously we have some history. Everybody has history. But where Ole Miss has gone, Paul, it really is quite amazing. And they've embraced James Meredith and what he's meant to our school.
Well, and you obviously grew up hearing about it and living it, did you not?
I did. I mean, my dad told me about it our whole life, you know. And so even from the flag change in 2020. So those are all things that Yo and I and a lot of people have had small parts in and we feel very proud of.
It's pretty breathtaking to think about, but it's also remarkable to think about what was going on today, this press conference. How we on a program like this obsessed over the football players, and I think we don't give enough time to what it means to everyone else. You guys, you know, coach major programs at a major university. How does it affect you and your program?
Well, we're excited about the opportunity and what Grove Collective is doing. What I like about the Grove Collective is their focus on the education aspect as well. You know, I, as a young teen, I imagine they would just be thinking about the money, the money, the money. But what do they do with it? How do they invest? How do they make it stretch? And, you know, I think that that's important. And my players have been blessed to all receive NIL opportunities, and so that's something that we're grateful for, and I know that will continue to go with the help of the Grove Collective.
Coach Davis?
Yeah, we have 13 of our 14 guys that are under contract with the Collective, and you know, so I think like Ole Miss has been, it's going to be very, very competitive, you know, with college athletics. That's just where we are right now, Paul. But I do think, like I said, you know, Roger Whitaker has released some new legislation to go in front of the federal government, our state senator here, U.S. senator here. And so I think Mississippi is really progressively thinking with the NIL, especially on this campus, which we need to be.
I asked Keith Carter this question, and obviously it's more for him than you, but and I don't mean to crash the party here, but it just, I wonder, maybe I even worry about all those donors who give a lot of money to help your facilities. You guys don't really need a new facility, you just got one a few years ago, but there are a lot of things you do need.
Sure.
And now it's probably going to the Collective, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's a give and take. It is a challenge because you want to give players a great experience, but at the same time, you know, we do believe that players should be compensated on their name, image, and likeness.
Right.
And so that is something that is going to just be a balance that Keith is and his administration, they're prepared to do. And luckily for us, we were in position already to have healthy budgets where we can support our players, and we feel like we can do both.
Paul, you know, the balance, as you well know, is okay from the NIL and the foundation.
Right.
Everybody's trying to grow the foundation, like you said, for facilities all across the country. And so now everybody's trying to find the balance. I'm sure early on maybe it was a part of give and take, you know, that somebody's trying to give the NIL, but we want to give the foundation. And so I think that's why eventually I think we will see in whatever years that it's going to get under the university umbrella to where everybody has a grasp on that and that, you know, maybe part of your donations go to the NIL, obviously, and some go to the foundation.
I don't want to let both of you get out of here without talking about what you're actually here for on this campus, and that's coaching. The season is around the corner, right. Coach Yo, and I know last year was a tremendous building block to where you have this program and where you want to take it. So what's it look like for the upcoming year?
Well, now we want to continue to keep going. We want to be known as a program that is expected to go to the NCAA tournament every year. Yes, last year was a huge accomplishment for us because it hadn't happened in 15 years. But now we don't want another 15-year hiatus. You wouldn't be talking to me up here, that's for sure.
Unfortunately, as much as I like you and, right. and care for you, I'd have to get to know the next coach.
I know. So we want to just continue to build on the cornerstones that we've established. And I think we're on the right track. I'm really excited about our group. They're unique, they're fun, and they have the expectation and they want to go to the tournament and they want to go back and further.
I know with you, there's not a lot of in between. I mean, the tournament's what it's all about.
It is. You know, we've been to two postseasons in 4 years, and we thought we were a couple years with the number one seed in the NIT. I thought we were last year, Paul. We had some injury deals. Now our team is healthy. I don't think it's my 40th year in college basketball. I don't think I've ever had more fun with a group. We've got the best depth that we've ever had. I think we can compete for an SEC championship. I just do. I think that our team is whole. I mean, Deshaun Ruffin, who I thought last year was the best point guard in our league before he got hurt, he's getting healthy. We've got more depth. The league is great. You know, the one thing you can say, as I say, we can compete, you can finish ninth or tenth, too. So the league balance, this is the best the league's ever been, Paul, as you and I have followed it. Top to bottom, recruiting, everything. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a great home schedule. We can't wait to get started.
And I'm curious, Coach, as somebody who grew up in basketball and saw it the way it used to be, it is pretty remarkable because this league, no matter what it did back in the day, it was not going to get much outside of Kentucky.
No, it wasn't. I mean, when I was a young guy, my dad was coaching. It was one team in, you know. Wow. Rupp had his team in. Then Ray Mears put a little pressure on Kentucky. Then C.M. Newton did it at Alabama.
Right.
And now every team, like last year, our recruiting class finished 12th in the country, okay? And I think we finished 4th in the SEC.
Right.
It's almost like the old football. You know, Ole Miss could finish 17th in recruiting and football and finish 9th in the SEC. So
Maybe. Everybody,
the quality of coaches on the men and women's side, Paul, is great. So it's going to be a number of draft picks in the league. I think it's going to be an unbelievable league. Fun year.
It's not any easier on your side.
We just have the national champions
yeah.
in our conference. I mean, SEC is the best conference in the country for women's basketball. We believe that night in and night out is a dogfight. And so that is why you come to the SEC to compete at the highest level. I think at one point last year we had 7 of our 14 teams in the top 25. And then when we got in there, we made it 8. So it's competitive, and, you know, that's why I love being a part of this conference, and that's what it's about.
No, and I find what's so remarkable, especially on the women's side, Coach, the caliber. You go back in the day, and it was really not a fair fight. I mean, you had 2 or 3, mainly Pat Summitt, and it was just a revolving door.
Yeah,
now
it's the
Hall
Rumble
of Fame
in the Bronx.
Every night.
And it's unbelievable in every sport.
Right.
I don't care if it's the men's golf team or women's or Yo. And Yo has just done a remarkable job. But you're right. I mean, heck, Paul, we go back when there's probably 3-on-3, right, in women's basketball way back. I mean, high school Yo. I know we'll age ourselves a little bit.
Right.
Then we went to the Rover Yo, and now we're at 5-on-5.
Coach, when I was at school at the University of Tennessee, Pat had just gotten there a couple of years earlier, and you know, they travel with us, and I would go knock on her door, and I mean, she literally had a broom closet. And then she became the most famous and revered coach in college basketball history. I have to ask you before you go, Coach, 40 years. I mean, I don't know if these young guys today, there's no way they're making
right,
it 40 years. Yeah, I know you had it in your genes. And your dad was really a phenomenal and a trailblazer too.
Right.
I don't think he ever gets the credit for that.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But I'm sure you know all the stories. But
absolutely.
I mean, he did things that that really put your entire family and life in jeopardy. Did he not?
Well, I don't know if his life in jeopardy.
I mean, it was tough time to.
Yeah, he was the first. You know, he signed the first black player, helped sign the first black football player, Frank Dowsing, to Mississippi State. And he was going to go play for Bear. Mm. You know, he was the coach at Tupelo High School, and so Frank was he was a big part of that. And then obviously, you know, he started 5 black players in Mississippi when nobody's ever really done that. And, you know, so we do. We take a lot of pride in our family. My dad just got inducted in the Mississippi Hall of Fame, Paul. And so he just did this past August. And it's so cool that he's 45 minutes away, still comes to games.
That is amazing.
His health is good, Paul. So that's it really is.
No, I mean, there's so much history in your dad in terms. And I've only, you know, sneaking teams out in the heat of night to – again, we don't need to relitigate those days.
Right, I was going to say.
You're going to this weekend with James Meredith.
Yeah, right. Sure.
What a thrill, and what a treat, Coach O and Coach Davis, to see both of you here. And
thanks for having us.
I'll see you next year
when
that second banner will be hanging.
There you go. I like when you usually speak it on me, and when you say it happens. So.
And I know you're going.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just hope I'm back next year. We'll
it's
take a short
life.
Break. We're back. Final 30 minutes straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. We're live in Oxford for 30 more minutes, and it has been a phenomenal show. We're not done with guests yet. We'll get to your phone calls to wrap things up. Let's bring in Chris Doering, as we always do on Friday night, to take a look at some of the big games. Chris, thank you. Let's start in Fayetteville, of course. Alabama taking on the Razorbacks.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You go back and look, and it's been talked about a lot this week, what the numbers have looked like on the road for Alabama, true road games versus when they played at home or neutral sites. And I'm really concerned about this trend, because after five games, what you've seen, other than the one game at Mississippi State where they handled the Bulldogs pretty easily last year, the four other games that Bryce Young has started on the road have been decided by 3 points or less, losing one of those, obviously, last year in College Station against Texas A&M. But the common theme amongst those four games is self-inflicted wounds. They averaged 10 penalties on the road in those four games, and they averaged giving up almost double the amount of sacks that they do when they're playing at home or at a neutral site. So maybe the offensive line isn't able to heal it here as well. Maybe they can't get off the ball as quickly with the snap count not being easily heard. Maybe it's the communication issue. But for whatever reason, this Alabama team has played different when they've gone into hostile environments as opposed to when they get a chance to play in a more neutral side crowd or a home crowd. So I do think this is going to be a test for them. The battle within the battle that I love is the offensive line for Alabama against that defensive front for Arkansas. They lead the nation in sacks, 20 sacks. The nearest second place team has 16. So they've been able to get after it. And the thing we've talked about a lot is the dichotomy that exists between the ability to rush the passer and all the passing yards that they've given up in the secondary. Can this defensive front protect that secondary a little bit more? Can they get after Bryce Young the way that other defenses have when they've played Alabama in their home stadiums? That's the thing I'm watching for. Now, Paul, at the end of the day, I think Alabama wins this game, but I don't think it's nearly the blowout that the folks out in Vegas think it's going to be. I think it comes down to a field goal late.
Ooh. Chris Doering with the
Arkansas
money line. The nerve that... The boys here in Oxford agree. We'll try to recover. With Chris, let's get to some more games here. And A&M travels to Starkville to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Yeah, hey, Paul, I led you astray 2 weeks ago. I told you that Mississippi State was going to win by double digits against LSU. That did not happen. Credit to the folks there, particularly Matt House, who came up with a great defensive plan for the Bayou Bengals. But I look at this matchup here. It's a quarterback that I really like in Will Rogers. Had a great first half last week. I feel like the offense is back on track now. Against an A&M team that I just don't feel good about, Paul. It's tough to watch this team, particularly the offense. It doesn't ever make you feel like you're full. Like, I feel like I'm eating rice cakes because you're out here watching, they're teasing you, you're putting stuff in your mouth, but you don't ever really feel satisfied with it. So I think the thing that stands out to me right now is the defense of A&M against this offense for Mississippi State, are they going to be able to hold the opponent within reeling in distance that the A&M offense will be able to make enough plays? The thing that A&M's done really well is the red zone defense. They're number one in the conference when it comes to red zone scoring and touchdowns allowed. So they're going to need it. They're going to need that part of the field to be stout in order to allow the offense for A&M, who's really not very good this year, not explosive at all. I think it all goes back to the offensive line. But at the end of the day, I think Mississippi State is the better team here. I think A&M's been a little fraudulent with the wins the last couple weeks, and I think this is the week they get exposed on the road in another hostile environment there in Starkville.
Chris Dorian going with the Mississippi State Bulldogs here on a pick that will make a lot of him very popular here at the Grove. Let's head down to Auburn. LSU comes in. They're a favorite on the road against an Auburn team that had perhaps the ugliest win in SEC history last week, but yeah, they won.
I don't know what if I've ever seen a team try to do more to lose a game. I mean, Auburn gave Missouri every single chance they could to have won the game and ended up giving it right back with the missed field goal and the offsides penalty and fumbling going in. At the end of the day, though, this Auburn team is just not very good. I talked to you about it last week coming off the Penn State game. There is a discrepancy in talent between the better teams in this conference and Auburn right now. And I think LSU seems to me like they're putting it together. When I watched that tape, LSU's defense was fast. They were physical. They were flying around, particularly up front. That front seven was able to get after Will Rogers 2 weeks ago. I think they're going to be able to get after Ashford a lot more than we've seen all season long, because this offensive line for Auburn is just not very good. And I think that the lines of scrimmage, to me, is where the team is going to get exposed. I just have not seen from them the ability to protect very well, the ability to open up consistent run lanes for Jarquez Hunter and Tank Bigsby. And certainly on the defensive side, they haven't affected the quarterback very much, just haven't been able to create much penetration, haven't stopped the run very well. I think this is a game with LSU. We've always seen weird things happen between LSU and Auburn, but I think this is a game that LSU wins rather easily.
And one more game. It is in Oxford, Mississippi. Kentucky comes in here ranked in the top 10 against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I feel bad, Paul. These are my like two favorite adopted programs outside of the University of Florida. I've fallen in love with the folks there in Oxford. Want to shout out to my guy Dessler at the library and the boys over at Funky's. But I do think that this is a game that I trust Kentucky a little bit more, man. Kentucky, to me, has shown that they can go on the road and beat Florida, where Ole Miss, maybe one of the softest schedules in the entire country in the first month of the season. I think what you see from Kentucky is you get Rodriguez back, which will certainly help their ability to run the football. It'll help in protection as well, where they haven't been all that great up front, and will allow them to be more effective in the play-action pass. I think it all comes down to ball control. We're talking about a contrast in styles here, where Ole Miss wants to go fast. They're going to get a lot of plays in. And Kentucky's quite the opposite. So I think you're going to see Kentucky possess the football on offense, move the chains. And that defense, that linebacking core for Kentucky, I think is going to do a nice job of slowing down that potent running attack, that's a three-headed monster that Ole Miss has been able to utilize so well this year. I think it's a close game, but I think Kentucky comes in, pulls the upset as the underdog.
Kentucky beats Ole Miss here in Oxford. Chris Dorian.
Not popular, huh?
Will not be a popular man tonight on the square. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it very much. We've got a few minutes to go, so if you'd like to get in, you can call us now at 855-242-7285 as we wind up a fantastic day here in Oxford.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.